Okay, you may be seated. Take out your notes and turn them over for take notes for the service. Kids are getting ready to walk out the door with Carlene for junior church. I just got an Apple Watch for the first time ever, and I wasn't going to do that, but my cardiologist, some of you knew, I had that AFib a few years ago, and they recommended getting a watch where I can take my EKG, just make sure. So I've done that several times, and everything's been good. But it reminded me, I told Cheryl last week, John Piper, who we've shown here, is a well-known pastor. He's probably in his 70s. But the video, it was a Christian ministry video that I got. And it just said, last week he got so excited, and he was using his hands, and his alarm went off. It indicated he had fallen. And so in the middle of the service, his alarm is beeping, and they were concerned that John Piper, because he was excited about his message, had fallen down. So this, if it goes off, I'm not going to get excited like that. But it does pick up if you fall, has all those heart things. So it's pretty neat, but I'm still... Just got it Friday, so I have no idea how it works yet. But if it goes off, don't think I've fallen, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the song that we just sang. We thousands of hallelujahs we can give you. We can praise you for who you are. We did that last week in our service, and just taking time to praise you for who you are, a praise service for your omniscience, your omnipotence, Lord, your presence with our lives, Lord, your goodness to us, your faithfulness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We praise you for all those things. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless us now as we look at your word, as we spend time just thinking of the world around us. We'll give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, increasing natural disasters, are they prophesied? Maybe this past Wednesday, when some of you looked out and saw the snow flurries, you thought, this is the end of the world. You hate it. You hate what's coming. Cheryl and I walk every day, and when the leaves are out, she appreciates that, but she's always said, I don't like what's next. And maybe some of you are that same way. You don't like the season of winter coming up. I love it. So I was excited to see some snow flurries. I know some of you weren't, but it wasn't the end of the world. We did this summer. Think back just a couple of months ago when we had the fire from Canada. Do you remember that? Remember all the smoke that we came? I remember someone asked me, is this a sign from God? Is this the end of the age? I walked over on a Wednesday from the house, and it was really smoky, really bad. And I came into the church, and the church had been closed up. And I walked in, and it looked like there was a fire in here. And I thought, well, maybe it's just my eyes from walking over here, but it smelled like smoke. And I waited a little bit. The windows were all closed. Nothing was open. And I waited a little bit and walked back in here, and it was just terrible. So I called Cheryl. She was working at the school during the summer. And I said, I'm not sure if I'm just seeing this or somehow smoke got into the building. She said, it's the same way at school. She goes, no one was coming into the building. So there were people who thought, that is judgment from God, that God was sending this to condemn us or to put us down. But you think about it, every few weeks we hear about some kind of a natural disaster, whether it's a fire, a storm, a flood, a tsunami, an earthquake, and people and property are destroyed. And I have a picture up here. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said that 2023 was the worst year in recorded history for billion-dollar disasters. I know you can't see all these, but it has over on the west, it had Rockies, hailstorm, central and eastern severe weather, California flooding January through March. That's why we were able to experience the great waterfalls at Yosemite because of the terrible flooding. But all kinds of different scenarios over here. Minnesota hailstorms, just as Texas hailstorms, just a lot of them just list severe weather. I'm not exactly sure what all of them. Nor'eastern winter storm cold wave, February 2nd to the 5th for us. Northeast flooding. central tornado outbreak in eastern severe weather, March 31st and April 1st. So again, Hawaii firestorm, and remember that because we had friends who had just come back from vacation there, and exactly where they were was destroyed. So we hear about this stuff, we see it, and people ask, are natural disasters getting more deadly? Are they growing worse? Now, there's some scientists who will say that all of this is a result of man's putting gases and carbon dioxide into our atmosphere, and that this is global warming. Now, Christian scientists will say that ones who say this don't point out that the temperature has risen less than 1 degree in over 200 years. I'm sure you have an opinion on the great Green Deal plan from our leaders in Washington who are trying to eliminate fossil fuels, get rid of airplanes. They say go back to trains. They want us to walk more. They want to get rid of cows because they emit gas. It's amazing stupidity that we have in Washington. But these leaders and these people who look at the world like that, they believe that if human beings would stop putting carbon dioxide out and stop burning and stop doing things that we do, the natural disasters would cease. Again, there's other scientists who destroy that man-made climate idea, saying that it's just a man-made ideology. It's not based on any scientific proof. So I don't know what you believe causes all those things, but we need to keep in mind that all wind, all storms, the sun, the stars, the oceanic currents, the entire atmosphere was created by a creator. And we were just talking about that before our prayer time, that all the designs that we see were designed by a designer. Everything that we look at that we see was created. Everything in our life was created by somebody. Our vehicles were created by somebody. The world is created by somebody. We look at the area we live in, and we're so grateful that we live in a spot where we can just see God's handiwork. And again, a lot of people, the colors of the fall are beautiful. But even with bare trees, the snow will be pretty. You might not want to drive in it, but you have to admit that when the snow is hanging through the trees and the icicles, it's just a gorgeous creation. But we know that God, our God, created the heavens and the earth. He created the oceans. He created the currents. He created jet streams. He created the cloud formations, which we get to see. And I remember being as a kid, just laying down, and we watched the clouds go by, and somebody said, that looks like an elephant. And we'd say, that doesn't look anything like an elephant. And I just remember watching that, but just amazing creation, just in the clouds. They're just briefly there. The mountain ranges, the lakes that we go to. And again, I have said this a number of times, but I just think that the Yosemite was just such a beautiful, beautiful place. And to think that, I said to my sister-in-law as we were walking there, and we were by the sequoias at one point, and I mentioned this when we came back, that there was a plaque there to the gods that created the trees, not the god, but the gods and the spirits there. And I just said to my sister-in-law, there was a bunch of people around, I said, how can anybody look at this and say that this came out of nothing or that some gods kind of put this together? God created this, and we know that God created all those things, and God creates the weather as well. We're told in Scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, that God sends the gentle rains as a blessing. He also sends storms at the same time, not necessarily that as judgment, but they cause flooding. They do cause damage. But Matthew 5, 45 says this. He says, he who makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Not all weather, not all natural disasters is a judgment from God. It possibly could be sometimes. I believe God does allow man to reap the consequences of sin and consequences of pollution. But he doesn't always use the weather to punish us for our sins. Natural disasters can be part of his plan, and they are part of prophecy. So I want you to look at this. I thought this would be, I made it smaller. I'm sorry I made it just so I could fit it all on. But let me read it to you. Out of Isaiah chapter 45, verses 5 to 7, it says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. That's God just telling us, I'm the creator. He says, I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. God is just saying, I am God. I deserve your worship. He says, I am the Lord and there is no other. Then in verse 7, this confuses some people and bothers some people. He says, I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. God is saying, I create well-being. I also create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Now, people don't like to hear God say, I create or I permit calamity, but he does. And sometimes it is for judgment. Sometimes I think it's just to point us to him. But Paul makes this revelation for us that kind of pulls back the curtain on God's working in our lives and the criticisms that modern man makes, saying that God's behind all these disasters. In Romans chapter 8, verse 22, Paul says this. He says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. So Paul is a couple thousand years after creation, and he's saying from the beginning, from the moment God created it, the world's been groaning together. Jesus kind of added to this too, this birth pains, this groaning together, this childbirth. It's unique in the New Testament, but Jesus said something very similar in Mark chapter 13, verse 8. And I'm not sure if I do have some of those verses in your notes there. But Jesus said this. He said, for nation will rise against nation. Again, this is prophecy. Kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of birth pains. So Paul had said, since the beginning of time, since creation, the world has been groaning together as in childbirth or birth pains. And Jesus said, as we see this stuff happening around us, it's just the beginning. The birth pains are happening. And that's what's going to be coming together. And Paul is talking about the universal impact of these judgments, okay, or these pains. All creation groans together. So suffering is going to be seen as an ongoing promise, okay? We tend to look at an earthquake or a tsunami and see some people dying, and we say, oh, that's God's judgment. Or that smoke and fire coming down from Canada that really bothered many people who had asthma and affected so many people. We look at that as God's judgment, but we need to understand the world is groaning everywhere, every day. It doesn't just have to be a fire from Canada, but all around the world, people are groaning as they suffer. And when natural disasters come on the earth, I believe it's to cause us to look to God. It's not necessarily a specific act of judgment, but I believe it's pointing to the worldwide judgment that is coming. All right, so keep in mind, just not every storm, not every fire, not all those things that we looked at up there were judgments from God, but they point to a future judgment of God. So we want to look at a couple of things here, 3 points. Number one is that humanity is broken. Humanity is broken. Christian scientists and theologians have an interesting view of natural disasters. They don't necessarily agree that they're increasing. They do believe that they've been around since the beginning of time, since the world was created. They say natural disasters are not bad in themselves. They only become a disaster when someone dies. All right, that's the reality of it. There's storms, there's fires, there's things that happen all around the world. And it's not really a bad problem until someone is killed in it. That's their point. So we have to look at a couple of different things here. Number one is the vulnerability of man. That's what we see with humanity being broken. Due to the fall of humanity, when Adam and Eve chose to sin, man became susceptible to pain, to sorrow, to judgment. Many theologians, though, and again, we can't prove this, there's many theologians who believe that all these things happened as normal activities even before the fall of man. It was just Adam and Eve and the animals. But they believed there could have possibly been earthquakes. There could have been fires. There could have been lightning strikes. We know there was no rain until the flood. But there's a lot of people who believe that disasters, if we would call them that, happened before the fall of man. Not to judge man, because there was no sin in the world, but all the elements were in place, the currents, the stars, the sky, all those things were in place that could have possibly made up natural issues, not disasters because no one died. But again, those things could have been present even before man fell. We do know that in everything, God is good. And before man chose to fall, those things could have been present. But when man did sin, we did become vulnerable to the world around us. Sin weakened our original strength. So they point out that animals did not fall in the same way as humans did. I believe there was our man's sin affected animals. We used to be able to, Adam named them all. Adam could sit and play with a lion. He could have probably played with snakes if he wanted to, until the real snake came in the form of Satan in the form of a serpent. But all those things, man had a relationship with animals before the fall. But animals, we know, had this instinct. We know that animals before tsunami, they have this instinct. They go to higher ground. No one tells them to do that, but they're able to do that. But man does not have that ability any longer. He is now susceptible to what's going on. Second is poverty and injustice. And if you read through Scripture, you'll see a lot of references to the poor among us and those who are vulnerable. We need to take care of orphans and things like that, those who are vulnerable. But the number of deaths from natural disasters are far greater in less developed countries than they are in America. There was a tsunami in Asia in 2004, and it killed hundreds of thousands, and many of those were living in poverty. They were living in shacks. They were living in cardboard homes. And when the tsunami came, it just ripped through and it destroyed buildings, but it destroyed these people living in makeshift houses close to the beach. We're also told that landslides kill far more people in some of these undeveloped countries because they don't have proper housing. They don't have good infrastructure, and they live in these high-density housing units, and landslide will just wipe out everything. Earthquakes in developing countries are far more devastating because the buildings don't have a code like we have in America. So these things naturally hit, and then they destroy these people who are living in poverty. I read this, comparing the two earthquakes of similar severity. The California earthquake in 1989 registered 6.9. 57 people died in California. In 2010, Haiti suffered a very similar 7.0 earthquake, and they had 230,000 people die. So we can see that although people are not, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not responsible for nature. They are susceptible to nature. All right? Injustice caused by human greed and suffering increases the death toll in these countries. But it's because humanity is broken. It's because man has chosen to sin. Number two is nature is broken. Someone said this. I like this quote. If there is no supernatural dimension, then we are left with a closed system of atoms, molecules, and physical forces. Earthquakes, tsunamis, and hurricanes are simply the outworking of the laws of nature, cause, effect, and probability. This is simply the way the world is. All right? That's what people who are saying that. But when we look toward the world, Christians realize that nature points us to God, never away from God. All right, so humanity is broken. Because of that, nature is broken. Things that are not natural disasters, and I have that in your notes. What are some things that are not natural disasters? Famine, war, diseases, COVID. You can put that all those things, AIDS, cancer. all the different things. Someone said that the migration of immigrants fleeing from oppressive leadership, that's not a natural disaster. It's certainly affecting our country, but it's not a natural disaster. Even though these results of these things can be disastrous, they can even cause, COVID caused a large-scale epidemic, didn't it? Many, many people died. I had a family member, my sister died of, they said COVID, but that's what she finally killed her. But I had a number of friends who died as a result of COVID. The effects can be disastrous, but they aren't caused by events in nature. But there are natural disasters. A natural disaster is a large-scale event. Let me just read the definition. A large-scale event caused by physical mechanisms in the natural world. These include earthquakes, flooding, hurricanes, tornadoes, volcanic eruptions, tsunamis. And when experts look at what goes on in the world, and I could probably find the article where I read this. There's a number of them said, it's amazing that life exists on Earth at all. When they look around the things that can affect us and can destroy us and can kill us, they are amazed that mankind has survived at all. I'm going to move ahead a little bit. I had something else in my notes, but I'm not going to spend time on that. Just talking about storms. All right, I found this, and I had read about this years ago, but I hadn't heard anything more about it. On Earth, the most powerful hurricane is a Category 5 and can reach 249 kilometers per hour. But there's a storm on Jupiter that perhaps you've heard about. It's called the Great Red Spot, the Great Red Storm, if you've ever heard about that or not. But if you can see that, it's that whole thing in the middle. It's a size comparison. That's Earth, but the storm is surrounding the Earth. It's a number of times bigger than the Earth itself. It's called the Great Red Spot. It's a cyclone that measures 20,000 kilometers long and 12,000 kilometers wide, larger than two Earths put together, with an average temperature on Jupiter of minus 234 degrees. It says the storm is so large that it consumes smaller storms around it. And we have been observing this storm for over 400 years. We started noticing it in the 1600s. And again, when people look at this, they consider the planets around us and the weather conditions in these places and the temperatures. Again, it says, we live in such narrow limits, it is incredible that we exist at all. Again, when they look at the Earth, I appreciate the picture that's been on social media of Israel, and it's God's hand over top of them, protecting them. And it says nothing can reach Israel aside from God's protective hand. And you think about that as well. I believe God's hand is on the world as well. I believe he protects us from all this other stuff that goes on in other planets. Again, imagine this storm this size for 400 years, and it's so large that it would take up more than two Earths. We couldn't survive that here. But God's hand of protection is on us. Natural events also have caused much of the beauty in our world. Let me read some of this. Geophysicists say that some of the natural or physical mechanisms behind natural events have contributed so much to the natural beauty that we enjoy. The mountains that we climb up in summer and ski down in winter, together with deep ocean trenches, are formed by the riding up and forcing down of tectonic plates against one another. Molten lava from volcanoes once cooled allows new terrain to form, and land masses such as the Hawaiian Islands were formed this way. These disasters also benefit life when you think about it. The stuff that goes on around us, flood brings currents or nutrients to the ground. Volcanoes aid in fertilizing the earth and provide channels for excessive pressure and gases from the earth to be released. So again, it's not a disaster unless someone dies. Those things have been going on for centuries, for years. Are they increasing? There's a possibility they are. But when Adam and Eve sinned, it brought natural consequences to the earth. Listen to this in Genesis 3:17. And unto Adam God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. You see, the descendants of Adam became so evil and corrupt that God was going to have to send a flood to bring judgment. And that's what he did, a global flood that judged mankind. And it said the fountains of the deep were released and the earth's crust changed. And then I believe that's kind of when the earthquakes came about. But as a result of the consequences of our sin, we need to understand the world has changed. And scientists now say, you're not going to hear probably many non-Christian scientists say this because they believe the world's getting better. Man's getting better. Everything's improving. But Christian scientists say the natural world is nearing its end. It's wearing down. The world, our earth, is wearing down. But we need to understand that even in the midst of all these natural disasters, God is still in the program of bringing salvation to man. And that's the third point. Even though humanity is broken, even though nature is broken, God's love is not affected. God's love continues. I guess I had in your notes. I apologize for that. Billy Graham was asked this. Are natural disasters a result of God's judgment? And he said this. Yes, certainly God can use natural disasters to speak to us, just as he can use other difficulties and tragedies to turn our hearts toward him. Now, Billy Graham's not saying every storm, every earthquake, every fire is a result of God's judgment, but he is saying that God uses those things to point us to himself. So when we look at the world around us, what can they tell us? What can we learn from them? I think first we need to understand that they remind us of the shortness, the brevity of life, if you will. That even though we may feel healthy and strong and safe, and we assume that life is going to continue on this way. And I'm not talking about heart disease and cancer. I'm just talking about life itself. When disaster strikes, we realize this isn't true. Life is very short. And even though we may feel strong and healthy and like we've got everything to live for and nothing's going to happen to my home, nothing's going to happen to my family, we realize that's just not true. Our life can change in just a few seconds. And I know people who've gone through different things, whether it's been an earthquake or I don't know anybody's lived through a tsunami, but they've gone through some what we would call natural disasters, gone through hurricanes and things, and they realize that's just brought to them the reality of death, that they knew people. They had neighbors or loved ones. We had friends who live in Houston a few years ago when that there was so much flooding and fires, and disaster down there. Robin and her husband Mark lived up on the same road, right down the bottom of their road. People lost their homes and people drowned. They lived up a little bit beyond where the flood reached, and I remember Robin putting on Facebook that it just reminded her that, you know, why us? Why were we kept safe just, you know, several hundred yards up when people below us died? We need to understand our need for God. Listen to what Isaiah wrote here. This is an amazing verse that Isaiah wrote here in Isaiah 38:17. He said, behold, it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness, but in love you delivered me from the pit of destruction. I don't know anybody who's gone through a terrible ordeal and lose everything and said, oh, it was such a blessing to go through that. Perhaps some have. I've never heard anybody say that, but that's what Isaiah is saying. It was for my welfare that I went through this great disaster, this great bitterness. Disasters remind us of the brevity of life. Disasters also remind us to help one another. Now, we shouldn't just be concerned about ourselves, but the problems that other people have. Disasters have done so much to bring the church together over the years. Think about how churches have come together. When I first came here, when the Antler restaurant burnt down, I was here only maybe a few weeks when that happened. And I got the board together and I said, let's do something for them. So we went out and bought blankets and pillows and we bought different clothes and we took them over and delivered them to Margaret and what was the other one's name? Sandy. And we delivered and we went and Kelly Reed and I went and knocked on the door and Kelly Young. I went and knocked on the door and brought them and I'd see Margaret at school and she would still mention that to me, you know. 13 years later, whatever it was, she was still, I just remember you guys coming to that. That brings people together, and we had an understanding that God has put us here to be a witness. We can share what we have with other people, and think about ministries like Samaritan's Purse, that throughout the world, anytime there's a problem, it could be a tsunami, it could be an earthquake, Samaritan's Purse has people there right away. And that is ministries that God has opened the door as a result of natural disasters. The whole spiritual condition of humanity has been impacted by the natural world. Let me read Genesis 3:17 again. It says, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Can natural disasters be a result of God's judgment? Yes, they can be. But again, I want to remind you that we can't blame God for everything. We can't, as the world does, point and say, well, if your God is like that, I don't know if you had people have said it to me recently, if your God is like that, why would you serve him? If God can watch innocent children die, if God can watch people suffer and die in Haiti by no fault of their own, what kind of God do you serve? But I want you to keep in mind what Jesus said when Pilate was persecuting believers. Someone spoke to Jesus and they said, they asked Jesus, do you think all these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? They were looking at the result of judgment or disasters and sickness and just things that happened and these people died. And Jesus could have very easily said, I judge them. They were wrong. What Jesus answered, he said, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. In other words, when these Galileans died, they weren't worse sinners. They were sinners. But Jesus didn't say it's because of judgment, but it's to point you to me. It's to point you to make you realize that when these things happen, look up. Look up and see the Father on the throne. God still cares. And I believe we're coming to a point, perhaps it's already here, when destructive forces will be unleashed to grab man's attention. We were talking about that in our Bible study in the book of Revelation. It's happening. It's going to be happening. It's a guarantee. It's a promise from God. And all this stuff that we read about in Revelation, the judgments are coming. And God himself has warned us that these events are going to be the direct hand of the Creator upon his creation. But it says, In the meantime, we have a job to do. Is man getting the message? Do we hear a lot of people repenting when there's an earthquake? Do we hear a lot of people saying, oh, this fire from Canada, man, I'm going to turn to God. Perhaps it is the judgment of God. No, we don't see people turning to the Lord. They're not turning to Christ, at least in America. We're not seeing it as much in America today. But I can promise you, I can guarantee you, and I can read reports to you that it's happening around the world. People are turning to the Lord. And it might be in spite of, or it might be even with these effects coming on with an earthquake or a tsunami, and people might be turning to the Lord as a result of that. But it's just everyday suffering that people are going through. People are facing eternity, and they're turning to Christ. It's amazing what God is doing. And we need to take heed and listen to the warnings that we need to reach the lost with the gospel he's entrusted us to. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the things that you take us through and the things that we are permitted to face and things we hear about and read about and see in our world. We realize, Lord, that we live in a messed up world that is desperately searching for you. And right now, not even realizing that they need you. Lord, it breaks our heart when we have friends and neighbors and family members who say, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't need the Lord. Lord, we just pray that people would turn to you in desperation, especially when they see what's going on in the world today. It doesn't have to be a natural disaster. It's just daily life disasters, health issues, Lord, the wars that we hear about and the attacks in Israel and all the different things that we read about, the mess in America, our schools, our homes, people turning away from you. Lord, it's a desperate cry for help, and they're not looking to the one that can help them. Lord, help us to be bold to share. Help us to be faithful in our witness for you and help others to see Christ in us and through us. And Lord, we pray that you would allow us to be that light to the lost around us. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask our men to meet me in the front here for a communion service. Well, God is good, even in the midst of heartaches, in the midst of trials, in the midst of all the stuff we see going on in the world. God is still faithful, and God is still waiting to draw people to himself. And he wants us to be that light, to be that testimony. We're going to be taking the communion supper together this morning, and again, we're looking ahead to the return of Christ. And he says, be busy until I come. I'm going to ask Joe if he'd ask the blessing on the bread.
Son, we thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins on the cross, the beating that you took, so that we can join you in heaven, Lord. We just thank you so much. Amen.
He said, he broke the body or broke the bread and said, this is my body which is broken for you. Think about, again, Christ's sacrifice for us. And he said, do this until I come. Let's take it together. Aaron, would you ask the blessing on the cup?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings and the opportunities you get that we get to spend with you. Each and every day, we ask that you touch our hearts with the fact that